Welcome to the Fabric Podcast, where we're talking about what's at the core for Fabric as a movement and community, and hopefully inspiring you to wonder what's at your core, too. Here's Greg Meyer.
Who doesn't love a little suspense? It's so exciting, so intriguing. Take this, for example.
11, 10, 9, ignition sequence starts. 6, 5.
That was a recording of the Apollo 11 takeoff, July 1969. Tens of millions of people in the United States watched it. And then 4 days later, when Neil Armstrong placed the first human footprint on the moon, there were reportedly over 600 million people watching live worldwide. I was one of them. I remember it well. We had no idea if they were going to make it to the moon or if they would ever get back. The tension of worry and possibility was palpable. We love suspense. I mean, what movie doesn't trade on it to hook us and to keep us?
Get back to Cairo. Get us some transport to England. Boat, plane, anything. Meet me at Omar's. Be ready for me. I'm going after that truck.
Hello.
I don't know. I'm making this up as I go.
Making it up as he goes. Jeez. Indiana Jones, you're crazy, and we love you for it. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? That's why we love it. Suspense. It's so exciting, so fun, so intriguing, as long as what? You know the rest of the sentence, don't you? As long as it's not in your life, right? I mean, yeah. We're talking about another one of our five Fabric core values today, and this one is brave uncertainty. I believe we need to brave uncertainty as individuals and together as a community. But you want to know something funny about this? Just like we are attracted to people who are vulnerable, open, honest with us, but we're afraid to be vulnerable ourselves, so we love to watch other people brave uncertainty, but we don't want to touch it ourselves with a 10-foot pole. We advise our friends to leave that unhealthy relationship or that job that's getting you down. We want you to quit the crutch of spending or gambling or drugs or whatever that unhealthy dependence in you is all about. At the same time, we just continue walking to our own future, ignoring what isn't working because we can't imagine changing it. But while you don't have a Hollywood scriptwriter making sure that everything turns out okay in the end for you, it doesn't mean you can't brave uncertainty. You can. It isn't only for movies or for heroes or the exceptional. Braving uncertainty is what you have to do to grow. It's what I have to do to grow. It's what Fabric has to do to help us grow and to grow with us. Now, before we dive any deeper into braving uncertainty, let's back up to what core values are all about. You can find more about this in the first 7 minutes of last week's podcast, by the way. Just go ahead and check that out. But in short, core values are what you are all about. You know, we don't just do stuff, say stuff, choose stuff. We do it because there is some fundamental value at work inside us that leans us in that direction. And this doesn't only apply to big, weighty moral decisions. No, it finds its way into the everyday, mundane choices that we make as well. We're often unaware of what is at our core, having adopted it from whatever influenced us, childhood experiences, societal pressure, the media, all happening to us and driving us unconsciously. That's not how you find a life that's fulfilling and meaningful, though. It's important to choose what's at your core, what will guide your thoughts, your choices, your actions, and commitments to reflect what you want your life to be about. That's your vision for your life, your why. To put all this in shorthand, core values spring from your why, and they tell you your what and how. Yeah, core values, they spring from your why, and they tell you your what and how. We get it all backwards. We focus on the what's. Like having a good job, a big income, a nice house, cars, toys, trips. Not unimportant things, but they shouldn't be leading the way. Anyway, We focus on those what's, and then we figure out the how to get them, and then we go looking for whys to justify it for us, giving ourselves excuses for why our lives don't reflect our ideals, or maybe teaching ourselves to ignore the stirrings inside us that arise because our deepest values don't match what our calendars, bank accounts, and actions reveal about us. As a community, Fabric needs to be led by what matters most. You're not listening today because I'm so good looking. My parents did always say I had a face made for radio, you know. Podcasting wasn't a thing then. Now, you're listening because we deliberately focus on conversations that matter. Now, we didn't make up these five core values. Rather, we sifted through our experience as a community to understand what has been at work all these years when we were at our best. And these are what we found. Choose connection. Brave uncertainty, think big, whimsify, and share warmth. As you consider them, I bet you'll find them to be familiar, describing what you've known Fabric to be when we are at our best. Now, braving uncertainty is one of the five, but why would we choose that? After all, claiming braving uncertainty as a core value is not only saying it's okay, it's lifting it up as a priority, something we want, and face it. Uncertainty is scary. It's hard. Yeah, well, here's the deal about uncertainty. None of us knows the future. I did at one point have great hopes for fortune cookies, but that didn't pan out. Now, seriously, the future is what we call uncertain, and you're headed straight into it. Yep, you're headed into uncertainty. That's certain. Yeah, well, anyway, it isn't just a future that's uncertain, too. It's also truth. The rules of life, the way things ought to be, whether moral, religious, or social. And that doesn't mean anything goes. It just means that the truth of our truths is in how we apply them, not in how they are written in a book or spoken in a sentence. Certain truth, with no exception, that's just how it is convenient. It's also flawed. It will eventually imprison you, not set you free. And as long as we're at it, people are uncertain. I mean, they're messy. We human beings are complicated with no simple explanation or a single story explaining what we do or why we do it. If you want genuine relationship, if you want to be seen and known for who you are and to see and know others for who they are, you will have to brave uncertainty in your relationships. Now, all that messiness is very inconvenient, but living as if it weren't true just doesn't work, and not for long anyway. Sooner or later, we all find that the world we would like isn't really the one we want. We want the real one with all of its uncertainties, inconveniences, and messiness because that's where beauty and trust and wonder and discovery live. It's where the real you, your first strand, lives. The Bible has been around for a long time, and the reason it has endured, along with many other sacred texts and traditions, is not because it has all the answers or it's removing all uncertainty, although a lot of people try to make it do that. No, these texts and traditions have endured because they embrace the complexity of life and of our world. They braved uncertainty and invited us into that adventure. In the Bible, the word for uncertainty is wilderness. Or I should say, in the non-analytical approach of the Bible, wilderness is the main metaphor for uncertainty. And there's a lot of it in there. I've talked about this often. After all, it is one of our core values, right? Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness, leaving behind 400 years of slavery, which was both a bad job and a bad relationship, something good and hard to leave. So Israel had 40 years of uncertainty, and they didn't like it. They were barely out of town when they started complaining. Oh, if we were only back in Egypt. Sure, we were slaves. Sure, life was bad. But at least we knew where we were. At least we knew what was going to happen tomorrow. Somehow, the devil you know is always better than the devil you don't. Well, anyway, Israel also had a vision for where they were going. A land flowing with milk and honey. Yeah, it doesn't do much for me either, but I guess that was pretty exciting 4,000 years ago. Anyway, they had that vision, but it was only a vision. They couldn't sink their teeth into it. They just felt the grit of sand blown between their teeth. All they knew was the inhospitability, the uncertainty of wilderness. Now, 40 years, as I've often pointed out, is a symbolic number. It means as long as it takes. And the story that meant no one who started the journey finished it. Uncertainty just keeps going. There's no escaping it. You could say that this idea that no one who started the trip finished a trip is the Bible's way of telling you and me that going through uncertainty won't leave us the same person. The old you won't survive. That sounds scary. I'm not sure I want to give up who I am. I'm not sure I want to venture into uncertainty then. Wilderness was a big part of Jesus' life too. His adult life begins with 40 days of uncertainty, 40 days of wilderness. That means too long of a period of time for anyone to survive. And he came out of it the person whom we know in the Bible. As I read his story, he then went on to challenge certainty after certainty so that we could be part of the kingdom. That doesn't refer to souls in an afterlife, but real people in a real world where God, what the universe is really all about, is seen and known. So when Jesus started breaking all the rules of certainty that had to be followed literally to be right in God's eyes, when he's accused of that, Jesus responds by saying, "I've not come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them." The fulfillment of the law isn't in the certain, literal observance of the what of it, but in the messy, uncertain, often mistake-ridden living out of the why of it. I could go on about Jesus' life, but there's another life that we need to take a look at, and that's yours. What does this look like in your life? What are the uncertainties, the unknowns that you carry? Not just what you're going to have for dinner tonight, but, you know, the real stuff, like the pandemic and climate change, equity and justice struggles. How are you faring with them, and what do the complications of them look like for your future, your job, your children, your schooling, your ambitions? What uncertainties are eating away at you over your health? Maybe a relationship that's not going so well, a partner, your kid, your parents, unhappy in your work and know you ought to make a change but don't know how, don't have time to figure it out and keep all the balls in the air that you're juggling right now? Last week, we talked about our core value of choosing connection, and we noted that the big obstacle to it is that it's countercultural. Countercultural in a society that generally values independence, individualism, and self-sufficiency over connection. Uncertainty isn't countercultural like connection. We'd love to see people braving it. It's highly prized in our society. The problem is, as we've said, we fear it in our own lives. We're afraid of what we don't know. Isaac Lidsky, in his fantastic 2016 TED Talk, explains how fear gets triggered by the unknown. It pops up in the reptilian portion of our brains, and before any thoughts can get to reason, they're overlaid with a twisted logic that tells us that anything is better than the uncertain. What you know is suddenly the better alternative because you know it, and you are so afraid of what you don't. He calls it awfulizing. Great term, I think. Your future lies in the unknown. When tomorrow is merely a simple extension of today, that's not too much of a stretch for you or for me. But when that convenient chain of only slightly different is broken or needs to be broken, fear floods you with disruptive emotions, preventing you from doing what you know you should do, making excuses suddenly plausible, making you willing to accept doing nothing, even though in your heart of hearts, where core values live, right? Even though you know better. Uncertainty gives birth to fear. That's why the other word in this core value is brave. To face that fear, to accept the challenge of moving into the uncertain, takes bravery. You brave uncertainty. I brave uncertainty. We as a community and as a society brave uncertainty. If we want to grow. Bravery is not the absence of fear. No, if you're not afraid, you aren't being brave, you're just doing something. Bravery is something you do even though you are afraid. Kara Yarkon talks about bravery and fear as essential partners. Bravely glumping into the uncertain seems more like stupidity than courage, and likewise being too timid to ever venture into the future, into what is out of your control, is an enormously sad loss of possibility. Fear reminds us to be careful as we step into the unknown. Bravery makes sure we will set foot into the unknown. Now, we emphasize the bravery side because the fear side is already built in. What we need help with is in braving uncertainty. Now, when I ask whether Fabric staking so much on something that everyone is afraid of is a very good strategy for being a healthy and strong community, one reason Fabric might not have people flocking the door could be that we make it hard not to get in the door, but we're asking people to do what they don't want to do, to deal with uncertainty in their lives. We work to make our community a safe place, to connect you with others for support, to draw connections with the world that you know and enjoy, to celebrate and delight in those things, but we don't shy away from where growth actually happens. The truth of our lies, that there is tough stuff around us and in us, is just what's there, and we've got to deal with it. And likewise, on the other side of that coin, we don't lay down rules and give answers to all the questions to provide the illusion of freedom from all your uncertainty. Rather, we look for better questions and try to open conversations. Maybe that isn't the crowd-pleaser approach to pulling people in. Similarly, we leave the back door wide open by not pretending that you have to be here. We have no threat of hell or tickets to heaven to hand out. We're just in this together, braving uncertainty and discovering that the awfulizing isn't so true. The journey is often fun. It's exciting, even when it's in our lives and not on the silver screen. So if braving uncertainty is going to be a core value for us, we ought to get good at it so it can be less scary and more rewarding. I want to take a couple minutes and walk you through something that we do to help with that. But before I get to that idea, we want to share something that points at another way of braving uncertainty. Maybe this is pulling in some of those other core values like whimsify or share warmth in order to help. You know, that is how core values work, you know. They support each other. They don't compete with each other. This is a song that Chris Tripolino and Laura Lou wrote together called Sure Not Sure. Sounds like uncertainty to me. And singing about it feels like a good way of braving it. Enjoy, and I'll be back with a fabric-y way that we brave uncertainty.
Thank you. together. This is love, this is all together. What can we hope to know but better? Questions, questions, sure we sure we sure. I don't know, you don't know.
Sing this out.
Thanks, Laura Lou, Chris, rest of the band. When we can name it, sing about it, keep it out in the open where the light of day shines on it, we don't feel so alone. It makes it easier. Bravery has a better chance. So, I said I'd share something Fabric uses to deal with the fear that uncertainty brings. You may be familiar with this already, but working through it again is always helpful. I know it sure is for me. To start, I want you to name one uncertainty that you live with. Something that feels hard or scary. Seriously. Name it. Imagine it deeply enough to feel the anxiety that it creates. You might find that when you think about this, you hold your breath, or maybe your shoulders tense or your eye twitches. I'll go first and be vulnerable. We need an example after all. Being an older white male in a leadership position, the movement around racial equity and how I fit into it is a big unknown for me. It makes me anxious. Not that I'm against it or not trying to do anything about it. I feel under the gun, that's all. It's something I need to do something about. Yet, I fit the description of the part of society that is a problem. And yeah, well, how to move forward is hard to figure out. That is the definition of uncertainty, right? Now, when you or I feel that way about something, we say it is in our danger zone. Your danger zone is a scary and threatening feeling place. Venturing into it is likewise scary, and we'd rather avoid it. I want you to imagine, or even draw this on a piece of paper if you want. Imagine a big bubble on one side of that paper that represents your danger zone. All the uncertainties that trigger fear reactions within you are in that bubble. That one about your partner, your job, your finances, about the pandemic, about gridlock in Congress, you know, whatever it might be, you make the list. They're your uncertainties. Now, we don't know what to do with the stuff in our danger zone. It just sits there looking scary and overwhelming. And so the easiest thing to do is to not do anything. Remain in your comfort zone. That, by the way, is another big bubble right alongside your danger zone. You can draw that one now, okay? Comfort zones don't need a lot of explanation. You know it. You find that to be where you're at home. It's where you know the rules and can function without tension or a lot of energy. It's fun. It's easy. Those are good things. But while your comfort zone can serve you as a place to relax and refresh, it can also be a place to retreat to so that you don't have to face your uncertainties, the stuff in your danger zone. And that's not so good. I'm afraid that picture represents how we live a lot of the time. And the big problem with it is that there isn't much growth there. The danger zone keeps getting bigger and bigger as life goes on and we don't deal with the changes. And we build taller and stronger walls around our comfort zone to keep the danger out because there's no buffer between your comfort zone and your danger zone. And they're rubbing up against each other is full of anxiety, tension, and fear. You need to change the picture. You need more than just comfort and danger in your life. You need growth. So here's what you can do. you can get in between those two zones and pry them apart to create a new zone, a growth zone. And the way you do it is pretty simple. You take a look at your danger zone. For me, my not knowing what all this racial equity stuff means for me, and pick out something, one thing, something manageable, something a little scary. It's out of your comfort zone, remember? Scary but not overwhelming. In my example, let's say I start showing up to some group that's working on a racial equity issue and it's led by BIPOC people. I won't go there to lead, just to learn, to acclimatize, to make that unknown a little less mysterious and to help me imagine a little better what my next step might be. Now, it's tempting for me to say, I'll read a book or listen to some online stuff. But for me, I'm already doing that, and reading and learning on my own is in my comfort zone. I need to do something out of my comfort zone. I need to take a piece from my danger zone and put it somewhere new, my growth zone. It's still uncomfortable, but not terrifying. Does that make sense? Now, if your danger zone issue is a job issue, what element of it can you take that still feels scary, but you can handle it? If it's your relationship and you don't feel safe or capable of opening up the whole can of worms, what can you start doing differently that pushes you so that you can learn and assess the impact it might have on your relationship? Now, as you do this, here's what you'll find happening. Things that you work on in your growth zone gradually become more and more manageable for you. You could say you get comfortable with them. So they suddenly become part of your comfort zone, and that allows you to reach into your danger zone again and pull out something new and work with it in your growth zone. And over time, you get better and better at being in your growth zone, and even though it's a bit scary and uncomfortable, you're more used to being there. In your danger zone, it's slowly shrinking, and your comfort zone is growing, but you no longer use that as a place to hide, but to gain strength and lean into what you need to do to grow. To brave uncertainty. Translating that into my example, what I might find from sitting in with this BIPOC-led organization is a place to serve them. I start working shoulder to shoulder with other people who aren't like me. I learn more and more from them. I make friends, find natural ways to be involved. My fear or anxiety is gradually replaced with excitement and that energizing concern that comes from being part of something. That's a quick overview of the comfort zone, danger zone, growth zone tool that helps us brave uncertainty. The trick here, though, is how to pry your danger zone and comfort zone apart to create and then to keep a growth zone. To put it in the language of our core values, how do you find the courage to face uncertainty, ambiguity, and the unknown? Well, I'm glad you asked. And it's three things: people, perspective, and practice. First, people. You don't have to do this alone. New things are always scarier when you do them by yourself. The core value we talked about last week was choose connection. Seems like that applies here. Who can advise you, support you, guide you? For my example of dipping my toe into the world of racial equity, who do I know who is already doing it and can give me references of groups that I could maybe check out? Who might go along with me? I'm sure I'm not the only white male who wants to make a brave step in this direction. This is community. Choose it. Use your people. Okay, so people. That's the first thing that helps pry these apart. The second is perspective. Remember what fear does to your thought process? It clouds it with a single perspective of awfulness. Have you noticed that after a conflict with another person, your brain plays out the scenario of confronting them and the inevitable fight that ensues over and over? The longer you think about it, and you cannot not think about it, the worse it gets and the less you want to deal with it. And then you have a conversation, and most often you discover that the other person was feeling just as badly as you were. They're happy, even relieved to dispel the tension, and rather than a horrible experience, you have a positive one. And you wonder why you didn't do it a long time ago. Our brains awfulize. Thanks again for that term, Isaac Lidsky. And that awfulization, it alters our perspective. We can learn to anticipate that, to identify it, and to counteract it by getting a little perspective and remembering what we know is probably the case. Let fear make you aware of the potential problems, but don't let it be the only source of information that you depend on. For me, going to that first meeting was scary, but I had a good recommendation and a good friend to go with. And I remembered that when I do stuff like this, it's almost always a great experience, not a bad one. And I usually end up making a friend. Well, I went and I did all those things. I had fun, I made a friend, and firmly pulled that experience out of the fear category and added it to the growth category. Okay, people, perspective, and the last thing that can help us create space between our comfort zone and our danger zone is practice. Some years ago, Eric Reese wrote a book called The Lean Startup. It's about how to start anything in a time of fast-paced change and great uncertainty. Sound familiar? Yeah, that's today. Now, you may not be starting a business, but the concepts apply to all of us as we venture into the unknown. Practice starting lean. That means in a situation in which you don't know what's going to happen, don't expect to know the whole answer. Face it, there are reasons to be afraid in the face of uncertainty. There's a good chance of failure because you don't have all the information. And that's okay if you're not trying to solve the whole thing. You don't need it all. You don't need to know everything. You just need to know enough to start. Start small enough that if what you tried doesn't work, you didn't fail. You just learned something that didn't work, so you can try something else. You may have singed your fingers a bit, but you didn't burn your house down. Now you can try your second guess, which is going to be an improvement because of what you learned from your first guess, right? Back to my own personal example. I could have charged into the world of racial injustice by starting my own nonprofit so I could save the world, but that would have failed miserably. And I would have been licking my wounds for a long time before I was ready to try anything again. I'd have gone in way too deep, way beyond what I could see and understand, and staked far too much on it. Instead, I can try one thing. Learn from that, retool, touch base with my people, do a perspective check, and get my sights on what I can try next. What piece of my danger zone I can pull out for my growth zone. What bit of uncertainty I can brave. Yeah, this is real life. Uncertainty abounds. You can hide from it, but that means you're hiding, and it isn't making uncertainty go away. You know, uncertainty holds a lot of things, and one of them is growth. So, brave uncertainty. Last week, I had you considering your connections. What was one you made each day, and what was one you could make each day? This week, brave uncertainty. And do it by picking out something that feels threatening, scary to you. Put those three P's to work on it. People, perspective, and practice, and claim a piece of that danger zone for your growth zone. Start slow, start small, let momentum build. It may take you a couple days to clearly identify what you want to work on and to decide where you want to start, and that's okay, but hold yourself accountable to it. And don't do this alone. Choose connection while you brave uncertainty. Use your people. I bet you'll find that you are helping them brave their own uncertainties while they help you brave yours. This is Fabric. We have fun. We celebrate life. We laugh. We play. We also brave uncertainty because growing matters. And uncertainty is one of the main places it happens. Creating this podcast was an experience in that for me. So see you next week. We're going to think big.
Thanks for listening. We hope this podcast sparks conversation in other parts of your life. If you're looking for meaningful connections, there's a Fabric group for you to try, whether you're in the Twin Cities or not. Tag @FabricMPLS with your wanderings on social media and find resources on our website, fabricmpls.com.